following Jesus, not just me and Jesus, but all of us together as brothers and sisters. And as we do this, today is follow Jesus fearlessly. Fear, oh my goodness. Fear can be a great disability. It can be debilitating for us. And I want to acknowledge as I start this message today that this is not a light matter. That there, we can laugh sometimes at some phobias like arachnophobia, fear of spiders, and you know that there's trypanophobia, which is a fear of needles, which is something that's been coming out right now when people are talking about vaccines and everything. So there are these kind of things, and about 10% of Canadians have a fear of needles. I don't know if you knew that or not. So it's not really to be laughed at. And the truth is that many of us live with fear, greater or lesser degree. In other words, we sometimes call our fear other things, like anxiety or stress, or fear of things that could happen but haven't happened yet. And fear affects everyone to a greater or lesser degree. And I find it very interesting that as God tells the story, the history of the world in the Bible, there's no fear at the beginning. Did you know that? When Adam and Eve were present in the Garden of Eden in perfect fellowship with God, there was no fear. When they were living in the presence and the blessing of God, there was no fear. There was perfect harmony. Actually, there was harmony with God. There was harmony with one another as husband and wife, man and woman, men and women in the world. That's pretty good. Wouldn't that be good to have that again? There was harmony within people. No emotional, mental illness. And there was harmony with the earth, with creation, and no fear. But when Adam and Eve rejected the presence and the blessing of God, when they basically said to God, they crossed their arms and said, I know you told us not to eat of this tree, but you know what? It really looks good and I want to do it and I don't care what you said and I'm going to do it. When they rejected the presence and the blessing of God, that's when fear entered the world. I could quote you from Genesis right now where God came looking for them after they had eaten of that tree. And God said, where are you? He knew where they were, but he wanted them to identify why they were hiding. And he said, why are you hiding? And they said, we heard you coming in the garden and we hid because we were afraid. It's the first mention of the word fear. And the question I want to ask today is this. Is there a way back? Is there a way back to living in the presence and the blessing of God where there's no fear? We all experience fear, different levels of fear. I want to tell you about, you know, my exposure to Christians across Canada through Vision Ministries Canada. I'll just tell you a story about some pastors who were gathering in Edmonton about a month ago. And this was a mixed group of people in the sense that there were white guys like me, and there were people from other parts of the world. One man from Myanmar, which is Burma, another from Ethiopia, from Eritrea, Ethiopia, which is in Eastern Africa, another guy from Iran, and these were newcomers to Canada. And one of the white guys, like me, was saying, it's terrible how the government is persecuting our churches, how they've cut us down to 50%, and then they cut us down to 15%, and now it's only 10 people who can gather in the church. It's terrible how the government is persecuting us. There was a little pause, and the guy from Myanmar, Burma, he said, when our government started to persecute churches, they burned my church, and they burned my house. And that's why my family and I had to flee, and that's why we're here in Edmonton. And then the guy from Eritrea, Ethiopia, he said, When the government started to persecute our churches in Eritrea, they rounded up 1,000 pastors and threw them in jail. And that was 2 years ago, and they're still in jail. That's why my wife and I had to flee. And everybody was quiet. And they said, you know what, we need to pray. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters in the world and to thank the Lord. And the interesting thing is that I pray with an international group of pastors on Friday mornings, and they always start off thanking God for the freedoms, the relative freedoms and peace that we have in Canada. And our country is not perfect, as we recalled and prayed this morning for the terrible issues with the First Nations, with our First Nations brothers and sisters. We're not perfect in Canada, but we can thank the Lord for the peace and freedom that we have. And yet, there can be fear. So when we talk about following Jesus without fear, when we talk about following Jesus fearlessly, how can we talk about that? What would that look like? And this is where I want to read us a story now from the scriptures this morning, from Mark chapter 4. And this is the passage that we're looking at today, Mark 4, 35 to 41. And is there a way back to living in the presence and the power and the security of our living God so he helps us deal with our fear issues? So if you would at home, if you'd stand, please, and let's stand here for the reading of God's word today. That day when evening came, and Jesus had been talking to a lot of people on a seashore, on one side of the Sea of Galilee, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. That would be scary, wouldn't you say? Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Now, actually, that's hilarious. That the boat is almost going down, waves are sloshing over, and Jesus is sound asleep on a cushion because he's not afraid. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified. And they asked each other, Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Oh, Lord, open our eyes today to the powerful truth in your word through your Holy Spirit today. Teach us what you want us to know, we pray, in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Well, as we take a look at this today, we'll see that there are three big mega things that happen in this story. And I say the word mega because that's the Greek words that is used in the text. There is a mega storm, there's a mega calm, and there's a mega fear. So let's look at them real fast. First of all, the mega storm. It's interesting, the Sea of Galilee is not as big as our Great Lakes at all. It's a fairly small sea, but it's more like a bowl. And because there are mountains on both sides that come down, and then you have the Sea of Galilee. It's a fairly shallow sea. And so when the winds blow over, it can whip up quite a storm. And you remember, these guys, many of them were seasoned sailors and fishermen, so they knew the sea, and yet they were afraid because it was a mega storm. Now, I've been in a couple of mega, not really mega, not maybe like this, but Stuart Lelis and I have done a number of wilderness camping trips over the years, and we've really enjoyed it. But one trip, we were north of Sudbury, and the day we were coming out, we had paddled and portaged and paddled and portaged, and we got to the last lake that was a fairly big lake, and the wind was blowing at us like it was really bad. The waves were huge, and I got in the bow of the ship, of the little canoe, and Stuart's at the back trying to push it out. And as we push it out, the waves bang us back on the rocks behind. And finally we get going, and our goal is to go straight into those waves and straight into the wind, not to either side. Pretty dangerous. We started, and as you can see, we lived. We made it through. But I'm just saying, it's scary when you feel like you're in a mega storm. Now, the next thing is there's a mega calm. And if you look at verse 39, it says, "He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm." Now, this is weird, because lakes don't do this. If you're in the middle of a storm, and you got big waves and this kind of thing, you know it takes hours and hours and hours and hours for the thing to calm down and become like glass. But here's the thing. Jesus spoke, bang, it became like glass. There was and literally it says in here, it was mega calm. And the disciples are there, and they're looking, they're saying, this is impossible. But it happened. How can this happen? And then we come to the mega fear, which is found in verse 41, where it says that the disciples had mega fear. They were terrified. Not about getting lost in the storm now. They're terrified at Jesus. And they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Who has authority over a lake? And who has authority over the winds and the powerful elements of creation? Only the Creator has such power. And is it possible that we're standing next to the Creator? This is not natural. Are we in the presence of God with Jesus? These are three megas. The next thing we notice in the story is that there are three rebukes. The first thing is the disciples rebuke Jesus, and that's in verse 38, where they wake him up because he's asleep on a cushion, and they say, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" They rebuke Jesus because they are scared, and Jesus is asleep as if he doesn't care. They're fighting the winds and the waves. I'm just asking you, does this seem fair to you that they're paddling, they're working so hard to keep this thing up, and he's just sound asleep? And they ask him this question, "Don't you even care for us? Don't you love us? And don't you find this, that when you're in the middle of a storm, you ask the same kind of question, because that's just how we're built, right? God, I'm in the middle of a storm right now, a relational storm or financial storm or whatever kind of storm it is. God, don't you care for me? Don't you love me? Things are tough right now." That's the first rebuke. They rebuke Jesus. The second rebuke is that Jesus rebukes the storm. You see this in verse 39. He says, "Quiet, be still." Jesus has authority over creation because he's the Creator God. Oh, you know, when we read through the Bible, we see that over and over again, Jesus is called the Creator. John chapter 1, "By him all things were made. Without him nothing was made." Jesus, who is this Jesus? Is he... could he be God in flesh, like in human flesh, in a human body? And that's why when Jesus rebukes the disciples, we see here, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Do you not know who I am?" I ask you, how do you feel when you hear this rebuke of Jesus toward his disciples? Do you still have no faith? Does it seem a little harsh to you, maybe? These guys have been frightened, and now they see this thing happen. This is part of the disciple-making journey. Jesus is instructing them and challenging them to think about who he really is. And if he really is who he says he is, then why do we fear? So this brings us then to three lessons that we can learn from this beautiful and powerful story. Jesus, in his disciple-making process, he's got his disciples with him. He doesn't just send them out into the storm all by themselves. He goes with them right into the storm to show them who he is. And we have three lessons here. The first one is this: who is taking whom? And if you look at the very first verse, 35, it's Jesus who says, "Let us go over to the other side." It's his idea. He's leading. He knows what's going to happen, and he has a plan for this journey. But if you look at verse 36, it says, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along. Like they were leading, and okay, we'll take Jesus along with us then, I guess. Who is taking whom? Who is leading whom? In their minds, they're leading. They know the sea. They're fishermen. They've been out there. Jesus, who's he? He's just... So they bring Jesus along. And I wonder if some of us, and how often do I do this, we just take Jesus along. Like sort of he's a good luck charm, okay? We want him along with us as we go. Jesus, yeah, you can come with me. But I want to go to heaven, okay? But I want to live my life the way I want to live my life as well. But I'd like to take you along just to make sure I get to heaven, but I need help from you, Jesus, from time to time, but I want to live my life the way I want to live my life. You can come along with me. And the big question is this: who's really leading my life? Who's the Lord of my life? Is it me or is it Jesus? You know, it's an ongoing decision. Mentioned last week that for all of us, we come to a point in our life where we make the big decision, the big yes for Jesus. Jesus, I believe in you. You're the Son of God. You gave your life for me on the cross. You really rose again. I believe in you. Please forgive me. Come into my life and lead me. This is the big yes. And if you've never done that, this is where things start, honestly, where we say the big yes to Jesus and we turn from our old ways that are killing us anyway. We say, I want to follow you, Lord Jesus. I believe in you. But then there's the ongoing decision day by day where we say, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to be my leader. And sometimes Jesus leads us into a storm, just like he did with these guys. But we say every day, wherever you lead me, I will follow, just like we sang earlier today. Wherever it is, because I know your ways are higher than my ways, your ways are better than my ways. And I want to learn to trust you even in the middle of the storm. Second lesson is this: do you know who Jesus is? Really, absolutely, profoundly. And that's the crisis that came for these disciples here that day. Who in God's name is this? Who can speak and the waves go just like this? Even the winds obey him. And the disciples were still learning who Jesus really is. And I would guess, because I still am as well, that we all are still learning how big, how great, how powerful, how sovereign, how loving and wonderful our Lord Jesus is. He's not just a wise rabbi, a wise teacher, showing us new ways to love and help one another, although he is all of those things. Jesus is God. He's the creator of the universe. He's more than just a good man. He is the God human among us. It's amazing. It's a mystery. Who can fathom this, really? But God comes here in the person of Jesus not to condemn us, not to slap us around, but to win us back into the family of God, because the Father wants his kids back. So we see Jesus come to us with his arms wide open, and he says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Whatever storm you're in, come to me," Jesus says. "I can do something about this." So whatever storm you're in, Jesus is not afraid, and he comes to you with this security and no fear. And he says, "I'm God, and come into my family. Let me walk with you. Let my presence and my security be a part of your life experience as you move forward." Jesus cares. That's the answer to the disciples' prayer. "Don't you even care that we drown?" Yeah, Jesus cares. He loves, and he comes here to enter into our journey of suffering. Jesus, when he came here, he didn't just take notes on suffering, right? He didn't just do research on suffering. He suffered alongside. And you look at his suffering on the cross and you see, oh, Jesus, why would you do this? Out of his incredible love for us. This is what God is like. And he unites with us to walk with us through our storms. He's always there. Jesus unites with us to walk with us through the storms of life. And we get to be disciples, followers of Jesus, to move forward with him. And that brings us to our third lesson then, and that is that we can choose to trust God in the midst of the storm. We can choose to trust God in the midst of the storm. So, story. I have a friend, a good friend actually, who has struggled with fear, with anxiety and depression. He's a pastor. He's had to step out of his ministry role from time to time because of depression. And he was seeing a counselor. And the counselor eventually said to him, after they'd visited for quite a while, he said, "Well, you know, fear is a choice. And you're choosing to fear." And you know what? He was mad. He was really offended. And yet, as he went through the counseling process, he came to believe that he had a choice. And he explained it to me this way. If I believe I am a victim to my feelings, if I believe I have no choice at all when these feelings come over me, then I'm lost. I'm stuck in those things forever. If I believe that I am a victim to my feeling of fear, and I have no choice whatsoever, then I'm stuck there forever. If I believe I'm a victim to my anger, when the anger comes up inside me and I spill it all over other people, if I believe I'm a victim to this and I have no choice, then I will never take the good steps that God offers me to deal with that anger, so I don't have to respond in that anger anymore. If I believe I'm a victim to my lust, that I don't have any choice in the matter of lusting, that when those things come up inside me like this, that I have no choice, then I will never learn the good steps that God gives me so that I can look on someone as a brother or sister instead of a sex object. And we can say the same thing about, if I think I'm a victim to fear or to hatred or to unforgiveness, what that person did is unforgivable. I would never forgive that person. If we think we're a victim to this, then we're going to be locked into that forever and never find the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a choice here. We don't want to be locked into this stuff forever, do we? This is not the Christian life. So how do we do this? And this is where we conclude today. How do we do this? How can we choose to trust God in the storm? And let me say this, please, right off the bat, that if you struggle with fear or depression or whatever, this is not meant, okay, here are three things you can do and bang, everything's going to be solved, okay? This is not take two verses and call me in the morning and everything will be well. It's not that kind of thing. But these are some suggestions. These are practical steps that Christians have taken over the years that have been most helpful. And number one is this: lament. Cry out to God in the midst of your struggle. That's what these guys did, the disciples. Don't you care for us? Listen to this, Psalm 13. I want to read this to you. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Do you believe this stuff is in the Bible? This is David writing this to God. He's discouraged. He's depressed. He is down. How long will you hide your face from me? I'm looking for you. I can't find you. Where are you? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? And every day, how long will my enemy triumph over me? Somebody's trying to kill him, and it looks like they're going to be successful. David laments. He pours this all out to God. You know what? God's big enough. He really is. Pour it out, vent it out on God. But you know, when he comes to the end of this psalm, he says, but he's still in the midst of his issues. He says, but I trust in your unfailing love. I do. And my heart rejoices in your salvation. You've helped me in the past. I've seen your unfailing love. And I'm in the midst of this crisis now, and I don't see how it's going to work out. So I pour out my heart to you, and then I say, but I will trust you, and I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Lament, it's the first thing. Pour it out to God. The second thing is this. Remember who we are, the beloved daughters, the beloved sons of the living God. If you've trusted Jesus, this is who you are. Do you remember last week we studied this passage of Scripture where Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. Jesus loves you. Nobody has ever loved you like this before. Remember who you are. The third thing is this. Remember, we can practice these things. Remember that we're yoked to Jesus. He's right by our side. We've been sort of meditating on this the last few weeks. What does this mean? That he's right by our side at all times. We're in a yoke together, and he's pulling with us, and he's helping us, and he won't leave us or forsake us. Some of you know Isaiah 41:10. It's one of those famous verses that people often quote. It goes like this: so do not fear, for I am with you. This is Isaiah in the Old Testament, years and years before Jesus. Jesus is saying the same thing. Listen, we're yoked together, side by side. Remember that we're yoked with Jesus. Number four, tell a good friend. We were never meant to go through these difficult times alone. And Hebrews 10 says, don't stop meeting together with one another, as some people do, but let's encourage one another. The natural tendency when we're dealing with fear or depression or whatever is to hole up and be by ourselves. And God says, no, come out and tell somebody. Let somebody pray for you and be your friend. We won't try to fix you. We'll walk with you through it like Jesus does. The next one is this. Listen to uplifting music. Psalm 13, just read that a minute ago. At the end, he says, I will trust in your unfailing love and I will sing to you. And I want to give you three recommendations, okay? If you want to write these down. Google, is he worthy? Is he worthy? Powerful. It just lifts up Jesus and is so encouraging. You see, all these people during a time of COVID, all these little screens all over the thing and joining their voices up to sing praise to Jesus. Is he worthy? The second one is this, the blessing. We sang it last week, the blessing. I'd say start with the blessing UK or the blessing Ireland or something like that, but you can have the blessing Canada, you can get the blessing USA, you can get the blessing China, all over the world. Countries have sung this blessing to one another. the blessing. Check it out. And the third one is this, Another in the Fire by Hillsong. Another in the Fire. It's the story of those three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, stepping into the fire, and they find, oh, there's another in the fire with us. Another in the fire. And number six, fight fear with fear. Psalm 111:10 says this, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord? Fear of God? This is a different kind of fear. This is where we don't fear the circumstances of life, because God is with us. Jesus is right beside us. But we fear God in the sense that we raise Him up in high reverence, that He's number one in our thoughts and in our life. We raise up the high reverence for God. He's big. He knows you. He loves you. He sees you. He's listening to you. And He cares for your life. We raise Him up. There's so much more I could say about all these things, but let's stop there for now. And let's consider that Jesus wants us to not live in our fear, but to continue to trust Him in the midst of it. Is there a way back into the security and presence of the living God? It's never perfect for any of us. It's never perfect for any of us. But we need to decide from the lessons of this day to follow Jesus. Don't ask Him to follow me or follow you. We want to follow Jesus all the way. We want to know Jesus, that He really is God. He's mega. He's powerful. He's the sovereign one, God in the flesh. And then we choose to trust Him even in the middle of the storm. Even when life is full of fear, we trust Him. Lord Jesus, You're the one who comes to give us Your presence and the security of Your presence in the difficulties, the storms, the fearful times of life. Would You help us to trust You more? Would You increase our faith, we pray. Would You help us to let You be our leader and we're the followers? And that we would know You more as the mega, great, huge God, sovereign over all things, and would choose to trust You even in the midst of the storm. And I pray that if there's someone who has never trusted You in the first place, this will be the day to say a big yes to Jesus. Come into my life, forgive me, I want to follow You, I turn to You. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.